can be applied in any country, in any city, with the exception that it may take more time in some places and countries than in other. But these are Bible principles. If they are consistently and persistently applied, they will bring results as the Bible promised. And sometimes we hear church growth principles from various seminars, and many pastors and leaders always like to go to growth principles and study them more. And sometimes we misunderstood because we don't differentiate what I call between principles and methods. Remember that methods change with time, with culture, and with environment. But principles remain the same. So when someone says, the steam engine has revolutionized transport and is the key to modernization of the human transportation system, is there a right or wrong statement? In a sense, it's correct, but in another sense, it's limited. Because it's not the steam engine. The steam engine was a method, a conception, and a creation, an invention based upon a principle. And the principle was mechanized or electrical transport. A system by which man, instead of using horses, or donkeys or animals to pull their main transportation, man found the principle of using electrical energy, chemical energy, mechanical energy to move a vehicle forward. Based on that principle, they invented steam engines, petrol engines, and today electrical engines, chemical engines, to drive our form of transportation. So it was not just the invention of the steam engine, but the invention of the principle that man today can use other means of power to propel themselves forward. I mean, today, if you want to get into a car, and your car is run by steam engine, God help you. You'll be a road hog. Even in a neighborhood where they reduce the kilometers to 50 kilometers per hour, you'll be going possibly about 10 or 15 kilometers per hour. So we realize that if we are stuck on a method and not on a principle, we don't progress. And so sometimes people say, cell groups are the key. Cell groups are not the key. Cell groups are the method to bring about some other principle that is behind the cell group, which is the cohesiveness of the people, the training of the people, and the vision and the unity of the people. So there's a principle behind it. And so sometimes people try to get methods to adapt to church growth, but remember, behind the methods are principles. If we do not understand the principles, the methods are of no use. It's just like somewhere, you know, in some old-fashioned movie somewhere, there's this guy who travels, he's a missionary, and travels to this Amazon jungle. And there among all these Inca Indians, he sees, he goes to this place where one of the missionaries has been, and suddenly he went into this cave or hut area, and there he saw a telephone. He was amazed. So he said, didn't mean they brought the telephone all the way here to the Amazon jungle? He picks up the telephone and found it was not connected. They got the method, they got the whole telephone, but they missed the whole principle of how the telephone runs. You can't pluck it up and put it anywhere you want. There are principles behind the running of the telephone that makes it work. And so adopting a methodology without understanding the principle will be doing the same thing. So these are principles of church growth from the Word of God. And we share from 27 years of church planting and experience. It seems churches grow, some faster than another, but always the same principles apply. And if you examine these principles carefully, you find that behind all the methodology that they are teaching in church growth conferences, these principles are within them. Principle number one, in John chapter 12, Jesus says, in John chapter 12, and these are the principles whereby we will grow this church here and every other church that God has us to plant in this country, in any state or overseas. In John chapter 12, Jesus says in verse 32, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." So Jesus said, "If I am lifted up." It's a song that somebody I believe has composed. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Him up for the world to see. He says, "If I be lifted up on the earth, I will draw all men. I will draw all men. I will draw all men unto to me." So Jesus says, if He is lifted high up, He will draw all men. That means that if we lift up a program, we can only have a club. If we lift up a cause, we can only have a charity. We need to lift Jesus high at all times, no matter whether you're 2 or 3 or you're 1,000 and you want to grow some more. Yes, my friends, sometimes churches hit 1,000 and they don't know how to grow on from there. Because it takes the principles of God to keep it growing. And sometimes churches have grown. We have 2,000 years of church history. You can find it in any history book. And you can find it among the last 50 or 100 years of church growth. Sometimes churches go to 2,000, 3,000, things happen, they break down, and the people still can disappear. There's no guarantee, no matter what size you are, whether you're a handful or you're a mega church. If the principles are not adhered to, the principles that build the church will collapse. You can have the best telephone system in your house, but if the telephone system it's plugged wrongly or the wires are wrongly arranged, it's going to fall apart even if you had the best system. Because behind the running of that device are the principles that run it. So the first foremost principle is to lift Jesus high. We always have to lift Jesus high, and Jesus has to be lifted up in the hearts of all the leaders, the senior pastor, the pastors, the elders, the deacons, and the leaders, and the department heads, and of every individual. So the main first emphasis in any church, if they want to grow, is to focus on Jesus. It sounds so easy. But my friends, if right now you step out of this door, and you just pay a visit to about 10 churches in a traditional area, you may find the only one or two are lifting up Jesus. The principle is easy, but to keep it is hard. Why? Behind that principle is the requirement that Jesus be our Lord, not just our Savior. And you and I know the struggle that we all humans have to make Jesus our Lord. Sometimes He's Lord of 50% of our life. He's still not happy. And sometimes He's Lord of 90% of our lives. He's still not happy. He's still not Lord. He's Lord only when He's Lord of 100% of our lives. And the Bible did say, in line with these principles, the principle of John chapter 15 verse 5, which is related actually. It says in John 15 verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Now that emphasizes the relationship between Jesus the Lord and we His branch. Between Jesus having all the glory, because the branch cannot say, "Hey, I'm on my own," but the branch must give glory to the root and to the nourishment system. Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." The emphasis is on the abiding. not on the fruit bearing. Do you notice that? The fruit bearing is the result of the abiding. When you say something is the result of something else, then you must focus on whatever causes the results and not on the results. The results of abiding in Jesus is fruit. And by this fruit, I believe it consists of both fruit of the Spirit and fruit of souls from our life, the influence of our life onto others to convert, to change, and to bring others closer to Him. The fruit of our lives. The emphasis is on abiding in Him. If, for example, the result of you pressing the accelerator in your car is your car moving forward. Your car moving forward is the result. Your leg pressing the accelerator is a cause of it. Indirectly, that is, as you press the accelerator, your car, it increases the petrol flow into the engine, and it causes the combustion to go at a faster speed. Thus, it gives you more traction and pulls your car forward. That's the result. Imagine for a moment you take your attention away from the accelerator, and you concentrate on the result. You want the result of moving it forward, and you completely ignore the cause and effect. Guess what? Your car will come to a stop. You say, hey, it's moving. Let me go out and see. And you concentrate on the results, on it moving forward. You end up pushing your car. Because you're concentrating on the result, not the cause. Imagine when the doctor wants to treat a sickness or a disease. The doctors, see the blood flowing from, a cut or something from your body. Let's say it's a real blood flow, an artery, not you, but somebody else, right? An artery got cut and the blood is flowing profusely. And so you knew he has to be treated. And so you try every way to stop the blood from flowing. So some of you who know about a little bit of first aid, you know that when the blood flows like that, just putting a piece of cloth, something over that will not work. You have to tie what they call a tourniquet at the very source where the blood supply is. And you tighten it. And so the blood can stop flowing somewhere further off. Not necessarily where the source is. In the same way today, sometimes some of you have gone for walks recently in this weather, in this drought conditions. You've seen how things are drying up and we are praying for rain and we need more rain. And you say, oh, I want more water. But it has to start way up there where it rains, where the water is being collected. And sometimes it can rain tremendously here. But let me tell you, if you rain in the wrong place and miss the reservoir, we still haven't filled up the dam. So it needs to rain right over there too. We need the source to be treated. So in the same way, the concentration is on the abiding. Too many Christians are concentrating on trying to be and trying to do. And you pay so much attention to trying to do and trying to be, you forgot that your concentration should be on abiding. You see, we only have one possible consciousness. If your consciousness is on the results, you miss consciousness on the source. And that's why our consciousness must be on Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus and Jesus alone. You're always conscious of Him. Always conscious of His Word. Always abiding in His Word. And that will result in fruit and growth. First major principle. Second major principle, Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, here we see the disciples praying together. And in Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as